Welcome to Everybody Wants Something, a Degrassi podcast where two black millennials recap every episode of Degrassi from junior high to next class. Because why not? I'm your host, Sanique.
And I'm your other host, Lauren. Let's jump in.
We're back.
We're back, everyone. Back with another episode.
Oh my goodness. Super excited to get into this one this week.
I mean, there's drugs.
I mean, I also love, I'm loving the Spinner storyline this season.
Mm-hmm. He's got some good ones.
Like, he's got some really good ones.
Spinner's serving us some acting chops, and we're here for it.
Yeah, I mean, the episode that we had, front of the pod, Justine on, was very impressive, and I'm excited. I'm really enjoying like seeing more of Shane Kippel. Really mm-hmm. give it to us. Do we have any listener letters or anything, or do we want to just jump into it?
We do. I've got a few. So our first message from our lovely listener is from Krista. So this is also in regard to our episode with Justine. So that was the episode where Shane is shaving his head after his diagnosis. So in regard to the scene where Spinner is shaving his head, they do make a point to play Canadian artists on some of the episodes. They're playing Alex is on Fire during the scene, which we discussed two episodes ago. With our song choices. And later on, they also play songs by City in Color, solo project of Dallas Green from Alex is on Fire. I remember hearing their music on these episodes and was happy that they made a big feature in those scenes, which is interesting. We love the backstory of all the music.
Because I don't really know, unfortunately. Uh-huh. I haven't really been able to recognize any of the artists that they really played, but I do like that. I mean, I think it shows their commitment to really highlighting like Canadian talent.
And right.
It's super important.
We also got a DM from Finn, who said, so I think last week or a few weeks ago, I was talking about my coming driving anxiety that I have about going back to the States and driving again. I'm a little bit anxious about that. And Finn said, not me listening to Lauren's fears of driving before having to drive from Jersey to Brooklyn. Thank you. and they also said, how the fuck does Emma still have friends at this point? Girl has been given too many chances and continues to be the problem. That's a great question.
We did like a unison sigh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still stand by the fact that the writers just love the character so damn much. Because I'm just Emma, but you know, last episode, that was a good, Emma was better. So I'm, you know, we'll see.
And my hopes are in the gutter, but we'll see.
We will see. Yeah. My least favorite, but some people love Emma. Like there are definitely a lot of Emma apologists out there. So if there are any listeners who like love Emma, like even now, like not just early Emma, but even later seasons Emma, let us know. I want to hear your perspective. Like, what's the tea? Like, why do we love Emma? Like, what does she do for you? What is she unlocking for you? Like, what are we missing? Because I feel like we are very hard on Emma, but there's got to be people out there who like the character.
I feel it's definitely one of those situations where, like you kind of said, like the writers and the creators of the show are definitely kind of, they're putting on our pedestal and almost like they're, what is it called when?
Mary Sue.
Mary Sue, but what is it called when we're kind of shoved down our throat, like we're meant to think this thing, even if it's not really coming across that way.
I don't really know what the proper term is. I know I use this, but this is something I saw in like a weird like forum, but it was like informed blank. So it's like, you know, or actually just they're not showing, they're just telling, which is like,
yes,
you know, as a writer, you're supposed to show, not tell. We're just like, they're just telling us that Emma is great, as opposed to like, well, I want to see Emma being great, like for me to be convinced. Otherwise, you're just kind of telling me, you're telling me what I'm supposed to think, but you're not really showing me what is. So I think that's like really what happens. I agree with you. I think that's like, that is in part what happens with Emma, because we just like hear that she's like this person, but it's like, we haven't seen that in a long time. We've seen Emma be great before, but like, I haven't seen in a long time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jury's still out.
The jury is still out.
We also got a DM. This is our last one from CJ. So CJ sent us a article, I guess. I attended a story pitching Zoom event where this woman pitched this true story of when she gave birth to her daughter after not knowing she was pregnant. In the toilet, of course.
Well, of course. Of course. Where else would it be if not the toilet?
We only got one DM about our Gatorade choices. So we were discussing how Sanique is a fan of the orange Gatorade.
I am a fan. Proud fan.
And I'm a blue, what it's called, like Arctic blue or something. Any blue flavor is fine for me. But I just want to validate that CJ is also loving orange Gatorade and a cheesy Gordita Crunch.
Thank you. Orange Gatorade for the win. Like, it's good. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's good.
Okay.
It's tasty.
All right. Well, just consider yourself lucky, because anytime.
I wish I had one right now. I'd crack open an ice cold orange Gatorade right now. I don't care.
You know what? You know what I'm thinking of? I will say my Gatorade experiences, my orange Gatorade experience has always been a room temperature and or warm orange Gatorade, which.
Oh. Well, no wonder you hate it.
Yeah. So I don't think I can get that out of my mind. So I guess I'm a little biased, I guess.
You gotta get it nice and crisp and cold, and it's like sweating on the outside. Oof.
Okay.
She's good. Especially in the summertime. Mm-mm-mm. It's good stuff. It's getting warm now, so I'm gonna probably stock up.
But that's our last DM listener shout out.
Ah, thank you so much. Be sure to hit us up at EWSpod on Instagram or via email, which is in the description, the email address. So you can give us your Emma opinions. I want them. I need an introduction, a conclusion. I need 3 supporting paragraphs of why you love Emma. I need you to bring empirical evidence of why she's a good. Yes. I need you to like really bring it. Like write me an essay of why Emma is good. Thank you. But this week we are doing episode 10, Pass the Duchy. Pass the Duchy on the left hand side. Apparently that song is not about weed.
I think that they had to say that because it was kids singing, but
that's true. They said it's the cook pot. They said Pass the Duchy.
Okay.
Let me believe what I want to believe. Thank you.
Exactly.
Synopsis. Spinner is trying to cope with the effects of cancer and chemotherapy and start smoking marijuana, which turns Jane away, especially when he begins hanging out with his ex-girlfriend, Darcy. Meanwhile, Paige hates her job and decides to take a few days off to relax.
Wow. I will say, I was not expecting to relate to this episode as much as I did.
Huh, okay.
More so of like, right? Shane's like, not Shane, Spinner. The one time I call someone by their actor name. Spinner's like, listen, I'm fucking tired. I'm tired of going to all these places. I just want to stay home. Relatable. And second was feeling burnt out at your job. And you're like, I'm just going to take some days off. I don't care if I'm about to get fired. I'm just going to do it.
Yes. No, I definitely can relate to that for sure. And also not wanting to go out, but I like to go out these days. So less that, but definitely Paige's storyline is like, yes, girl. Don't go back to that job. But also you can't avoid your troubles. You have to like eventually, you know, show up.
Exactly. So in our cold open, we are at a pool hall, which is, you know, code for, hey, we're the alternative kids. This is where we hang out.
Yeah, just shooting pool all day.
Yeah. Jane and Spinner and Jimmy are there. And Jay shows up, which is always a bad sign. He makes a comment on Spinner's hat mullet. Spinner has a baseball cap on, and then like, what's it? The Jay and Silent Bob. Is it one of them wears a mullet like that, right?
They both have pretty long hair.
Oh, maybe it's both of them, but it's like basically like hat with like clip-ins attached at the bottom to give the mullet effect.
Yes.
Which
is like an interesting choice.
Very interesting.
I personally would have gone with just like a skull cap, probably just like with no hair. It's like it just looks like you're wearing a skull cap.
Yeah,
or like just he's a trying hat. To like, yeah, I was like, why don't you just wear a hat? But okay, he wants that bust down. He got that 40-inch bust down.
Listen,
there's hat.
Listen,
I get why Jay said something. I would also be like, what are you doing? Like, what is that look? Yeah, I mean, obviously, not knowing what was going on.
Yeah, Jay clowns him, and then Spinner's like rips off his hat and hair, and like, I have cancer, dude. It's like, okay.
I have cancer. I'm like, well, Jay didn't know. Jay typically is a dick, but like, Jay clearly didn't know you had cancer. I mean, he did, and he still was like, eh, like, what's with the hair? I'm like, okay, he might not have hair, Jay, but like, Jay genuinely is like, oh, fuck. Like, exactly. Did I know you had cancer? Shit. Like,
yeah. Like, sorry.
Did they stop being friends?
I think, yeah, because it ended when Jay tried to hook up with Darcy in the woods and he like fucked up his Christianity, remember?
Uh-oh, I think you froze.
Oh.
Yeah, you're okay. Back now.
Okay.
I guess you might have responded. I said, like, have they stopped being friends? What, like,
yeah.
What's their status?
It ended when Jay, like, tried to fuck Darcy in the woods and then he like fucked up Spinner's Christianity, walk with Jesus, you know?
Oh yeah. Wow, it's been a minute since that happened. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's really held out. Yeah, okay.
They've always had some ups and downs.
They have. I could remember the last down they had, but like, okay, cool.
Oh my gosh. Fan fiction. Spinner and Jay actually are like a will they, won't they, like queer like storyline. Because they're both like masculine bros, but one day they're just gonna like be on the couch, like smoking together, and then they're gonna look into each other's eyes like a little bit too long. And then they're gonna like lean in. Because listen, Spinner and Jay like fucked up their lives with the whole shooting. Then Spinner recovered, and he was like, I'm not gonna do this anymore. But then he became friends with Jay again because he had no other friends and fucked up his life there. Then kind of were on and off again. And then he was like still friends with Jay when he was being a Christian. And then Jay fucked that up. And now that Spinner has cancer, is at a vulnerable spot again and needs a dealer, here comes Jay.
Yeah, Jay's definitely always there when you need him.
And that's why they're going to realize in their heart of hearts and in their pants that they want to be together. It's going to happen.
I love that.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about that is just because Jade did like bully people for being gay. And I do hate the like, you know, homophobic bully to just secretly gay trope. It's just like, oh God, like, let's not blame gay people for homophobia.
I will say, I think Jay's story is going to be like, he's going to realize that like everybody's just on the spectrum, and that like, it's just going to take the right moment and the right person to be like, oh, I'm attractive. I'm down for this, you know? And he's going to be like, wow.
Is a goal. What was that from? I think it's from Drag Race. Someone said that in like a thing. Any hole is a goal. I don't know what accent this would be even. Yeah. I could see that though.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, bro, I have cancer. And Jay's like, sorry. It's like souls, mate.
Spinner's been feeling really down and just like not energetic. And Jay's like, hey, if you got cancer, you're going to get that good, good medical weed. And Spinner's like, ah, I already asked, but they don't sell it to 18-year-olds. And it's like, ah, that's so shitty. That's so fucking shitty. Hopefully that will change. But it's very clear that like Spinner's like, ah. And so Jay's like, hey, if you want to hook up, like I can find a supply for you. And Jane is standing right next to her, right next to them, and like with her hands crossed, being like, this is a no drug zone. This is a drug free zone.
Yeah. Degrassi at this point in this episode, and we'll get into it, is still very much on like, weed is bad. And I'm just like, so far, weed storylines we've gotten, we can take it real back to Degrassi High when the girls were smoking weed at the sleepover. And I think, was it Melanie who like gets high and it's like, oh, you have no friend. Or like, she's just like fucked up. Like, oh, you're alcoholic mom or some shit. Like, she's like some fucked up shit. Cause weed apparently makes you just mean. Right. So we've gotten that. Then we get in Next Gen.
Also, do you remember at the sleepover that Caitlin didn't let the girl in the wheelchair smoke?
But she does, though, doesn't she, eventually? Like,
I think so, but Caitlin, I can't remember. Maybe, but, like, Caitlin's like, are you sure? Are you sure that's okay for you?
She's like, will it make your, like, CP act up? I'm like, she can smoke weed. I think she's probably going to be fine. Like, I think, let her have fun. Like, fuck. Yeah, I remember that. So, like, smoking weed makes you just a dick. Or in Next Gen, when Paige and Alex smoke weed, it could just like ruin your chances of going to college, but she still gets in, but like, you know, she just gets high and it's like, oh man, like Banting, it's the Harvard of the North. Or in this episode where you smoke weed and like, yeah, it makes your chemotherapy symptoms actually alleviated, but like, but what, at what cost? And it's like, I don't know. I think like if it's helping, like maybe you should do it. I don't see what the problem is. It's very funny. And we have another weed episode coming up that, we will have Justine back for, because it's pretty funny. It's very ridiculous. And I'm almost certain that this episode will be dropping around 420. So 420 blaze it. Or actually 420 don't blaze it.
just say no, kids.
Just say no.
But Spinner's like contemplating. He's like, I'll keep it in my back pocket. I'll keep Jay's number. We're at Degrassi. Spinner and Darcy are chatting as they're kind of coming into class. And Spinner goes to sit down. Sorry, no. Spinner and Jane are talking. And Spinner's feeling nauseous. And she's like, you know, like, isn't there a way to fix that? Like, she's like, why don't you just get better? And Jane is like there for Spinner, but obviously like she's not being
out of her depth a little bit, yes, you know, but she's trying her best. She means well, but I think she kind of thinks that a lot of what Spinner is feeling is just like kind of state of mind and not like,
yes, physical.
This makes you physically, yeah, you know, cancer itself is shitty, but like chemo is, from what I've heard, like it's rough. It's really rough to go through those treatments. So like Spinner is probably crabby, but I don't think it's because he's just like, doesn't have a positive enough attitude about his cancer. I think he just actually
exactly. And we're kind of always the episode, we're kind of getting the juxtaposition between like Jane's handling of things versus like Darcy and how both of them are interacting with Spinner.
Yeah.
So Spinner's kind of like munching down some crackers to kind of rid the nausea. And Miss Kwan calls him to the front to give his presentation. Just like, Miss Kwan. Miss Kwan and Spinner don't have the best history. I'm like, this doesn't look good, Miss Kwan.
But didn't Miss Kwan's husband have cancer?
Yeah. And remember what Spinner did?
Oh, that's true. She's like, fuck you, I don't care. She's like, don't do this presentation.
She's like, fuck you.
She get her lick back. She won't go fuck.
But Kwan calls him to the front and Spinner's like walking up there and ends up just puking all over the floor. And she's like, okay, go to the nurse. Darcy kind of looks on and is like feeling really sympathetic for him, which is sweet.
Yeah.
We are at the Devonshire, which is where Paige and Andrea are at a photo shoot that they're kind of the creative director or whatever the fuck they're doing there. Paige is discussing with another guy who basically used to have her job. Paige is the Andrea and who's the Emily.
He's
the Emily.
And in like an episode, he's going to get hit by a taxi.
Yeah.
I had to explain that plot point to Evan the other day because like basically like his job might be sending him someplace, but he's like, oh, there's another guy they might send him. And I was like, oh, you're the Andrea to the Emily. He's like, what? And I had to like explain to him like the plot of the Oris Prada. I'm like, you are the Emily. You are the Andrea.
Yeah.
You understand? Do you understand that? He's just
whatever. Okay. Just watch out, Evan. Okay. Just watch out.
And just be careful.
Exactly. But Paige is realizing that in order to get to where she's wanting to get to in the company and in the professional world, she's going to have to probably put in at least 4 years of work. And she's like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that. That's a long ass time. This is miserable.
But also Paige is 18. So she's like, when do I get my promotion? I'm like, Paige, you just started this job. Like, and you're 18. Like the idea, like, yeah, 4 years is long for promotion, but you'll be 22 when you get it. Like, exactly. That's not like, I just need to like climb the corporate ladder now. I'm like, no, you actually so don't.
We are at the nurse's office at school and Spinner and Miss H are discussing kind of, you know, what's happening. She's like, listen, I've taught lots of kids that have had cancer and had to go to cancer treatment. I'm like, damn, Miss H.
Yeah. I was like, that, how many have you taught? Like, I mean, obviously cancer is like, can happen to anybody, but like her saying like, I've taught plenty of kids. I'm like, what? Really? Like,
Jesus. Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
And she's like, listen, no one's going to think of you any less if you decide to stay home during your treatment. And Spinner's like, that's going to be 6 weeks. I don't have time for that. Like, I need, this is my third time around. I'm trying to graduate. And, you know, I promised Jimmy that we would, you know, walk across the stage together and graduate together. And he's like, listen, I have no other option. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And
I felt bad for him in this. It's like, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, and I hated going to school. So I would have milked the shit out of like.
Oh, my God. But imagine if it was like your last semester.
That's true. That is true. I was a senior and it was like, and you won't be able to finish until next year. I would be devastated.
Yeah. But I would probably milk the sympathy card and be like, you're not going to let me graduate. I have cancer.
I absolutely would milk it, like, please. Let me, like, every essay I write for admissions would be about like, writing this. I'm getting chemo right now to write it. I'm actually at the hospital writing this.
Yeah.
So I don't know, tell you, you see, you're gonna reject a kid with cancer. It's pretty fucked up.
Literally. Spinner decides to ditch his nausea meds, which make him really sleepy. And he texts Jay because he has a need for weed.
I'm so glad you like clocked that. I also wrote that down, like, have needs for weed. Like, what?
Like, come on. Like, okay, first of all, number one, you're never actually texting out the word weed when you want weed in a text message. Like, right. Drug deal 101.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just be like, you know, can you connect me with your plug? Like, do you, like, yeah. What's, like,
come on.
Yeah. Also, I wouldn't say have needs for weed. Or I'd be like trying to smoke, like just like that. Like it wouldn't be.
Exactly. Like, let's, Spinner.
Excuse me, sir. I would like to inquire about some marijuana.
That's what they think. How kids the readers, the writers are like, oh, kids can text these days. They must be writing this. Like, no.
No, that's actually it, though. It's like what they think.
This scene that we get next is so fucking dramatic.
Yes. It's when he is smoking the weed, right?
Okay, let's set the scene. Spinner is like, his back is turned because I think legally they can't show him actually smoking it. So, like on television. So they like have him standing. He has like one arm against the school bus, so he's in between the school buses, like trying to hide, doing the shady stuff. There's like this Imogen Heap, like wannabe type song playing. It's very Grey's Anatomy.
Oh yes, it is. That's who it was. It wasn't her. Yeah. But it sounded like that. Yeah.
Yes, and it's like supposed to be this like there's like this buildup of like, oh, this is this big moment of like, you know, a character is making this choice that's gonna change him forever, and he like takes the last hit and then throws the roach down on the ground. Do people still call a roach? Or am I a writer now?
I get. You're actually like a Gen X like writer, like the roach, and the kids are like, what? I still call it a roach.
Okay. He throws it on the ground, and then he you know, the smoke dissipates, and then he goes back into school, and it's like
okay, I'm so glad you clocked it, because it's so like, well, first of all, I didn't realize that was what the scene was going to be. I thought he was in pain because his back, and I was like, oh, is he like in severe pain? It's like, no, he's smoking weed, and it's like music's like, he's like, I'm like, he's not doing crack, like he smokes weed, and like, and again, context, he's had chemo, he's
cancer. Going to chemo.
Like, that's, he has cancer, like, and he's and it's chemo, and like that, like, you know, I decided to do a little research, because I wasn't that familiar with like in what ways people use cannabis for chemo, and it's like, you know, it's not going to cure your cancer, but like,
no,
it does help alleviate chemo symptoms. Like it can deal with nausea and vomiting. It can maybe help you with your appetite, which is big because like, yeah, you're fighting a serious illness. You need to eat. And a lot of people, when they are going through cancer treatments, just don't want to eat. They don't want to eat very much. It's like, you have to eat. It can help with some pain management. I'm like, why are they presenting this? Like, oh man, he's like going down the wrong path. I'm like, he has a life-threatening illness, and there is actually evidence to suggest that the thing he's doing is going to probably help him in this moment. And they're being so like, oh, where are we? What the hell? Like, why is that dead? Like, oh my God.
Misha, are you dead? Misha Martin, where are you?
Seriously, it's like, man, like the kid's suffering and he's just trying to do his best to get through school with this like fucked up situation. Like, I hate that they presented it like this, like, oh man, like Spinner's really going down the deep end.
And then after the serious moment, they're like, ooh, stoner antics. It's like Spinner's in media immersion class, like laughing at funny YouTube videos and like eating a sandwich.
Which, like, accurate though. Like, My favorite thing, I haven't smoked weed in a while. My favorite thing to do is to smoke weed and like just like watch YouTube videos and just like, I love to watch the Mary Kay and Ashley slow down, give me pizza.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
You know, like the, you know, they have that like married, like we're, you're invited, like show, yeah, they had like the VHS and they have like the sleepover, the slumber party one.
Yeah.
And there's that one song, P-I-C-C-A, I want pizza. Dun, 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 dun. They, someone basically slowed it down. It is like P-I-G-G-A, dun, 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 I want pizza. And it's just like the stupidest video, but I definitely smoke weed and like laugh my ass off watching that video. So funny. When you're high, that and that weird video that's like an old YouTube video is like the kazoo video.
Wait,
this weird blonde kid. I don't know what it is. He like plays a kazoo.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It's weirdly clipped together. It's like kind of unsettling, but it's funny because he's like, who are you? And he's like playing the kazoo and shit.
Yes.
Like, kazoo!
Yes,
I,
yes.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, throwback. Actually, stoner antics. I'm like,
Yes. But Jimmy's like, Jimmy is annoyed, which is like, yeah, I'd be annoyed if my friend's like obnoxiously loud and high in class. And I'm just like, and you're just
and
sober.
And you're sober. And you're just like, can you like not?
Yeah. But Jimmy's like, whatever. But he's just mostly annoyed.
Yeah.
He's like,
oh,
in the hall,
so you're smoking, yeah. You're smoking chronic now. And it's like, Jimmy is so annoyed. It's so boring. Like, he's so like, like, oh, so like that's what you do now, like that's like so fucking judgy.
Yeah.
Okay, like he's very judgmental in a way that's like, okay buddy, like what if I told you that smoking weed will make you feel less bad about your dick not working? Jimmy,
okay
that was probably mean, but still it's like let this kid do what he has to do to make himself get through the day.
Yeah,
I think it's fine.
Yeah. We're in the hallway with Spinner and Jane. Jane is mad about him kind of being distant and not, you know, not calling her back, not texting her, which is like normal girlfriend stuff. And she's like, hey, I just want you to know that I can always cheer you up if you're feeling down. And it's like, Jane, it's not that. Okay. But she's classic, like teen girlfriend being like, what's wrong? Why don't you tell me? Just talk to me, please. Why don't we talk?
Yeah. It's like, and like Jane is doing that thing. I think, again, I think it kind of just speaks to maybe her lack of understanding of like the situation. We see her do it throughout the episode where it's like, you just got to get out there and have a good time. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's definitely good for him to keep his spirits up. It's not going to help. I do to a certain extent believe that like a, I don't think a positive attitude will cure your cancer, but like it will help it to keep yourself motivated. It makes a difference. And then to just like give
right.
up. But it's like, for her, it's just like, why did he get out? It's like, actually in this situation, sometimes just being home and not doing anything is also good. Like he does need a rest. Like he can't,
yeah.
Like his energy is low because literally the chemotherapy is like sapping him of like his energy.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys should just like hang out and just like just watch a movie at his place. It's like just chill. Watch a fucking DVD. You don't have to like be going to shows and like rallying.
Oh,
it's like
so many fucking shows. Oh my God.
So many activities. I'm like, I think he's supposed to stay home. I think it's okay.
Yeah. She's like, flight, hotel, party, bar, shot, another flight. Like that's her. And it's like, bitch, I'm on chemo.
Like I have argued. Also, I'm immunocompromised. I probably shouldn't be like out with so many people. Like I probably should just like be at home or like do some like low key. Like let's like if we want to go out, let's go to the Dodge, get like a burger, and like go home. Like we don't have to be like at this dirty ass pool hall. Like
sticky floor,
maybe sticky floor. Yeah.
But Spinner's like hesitant, but is like okay. Like, you know, it maybe it'll cheer me up. He's kind of like hesitant, but kind of hoping that he'll feel better later. We get a quick scene with Paige and Andrea. They're still at the photo shoot, but the photographer's like, oh, we need a reshoot. There's something wrong.
Was so unclear of who this guy was. Like, I mean, is he the client or is he Andrea's boss? I could not understand it, because there's a moment where I was like, oh, it's kind of interesting that Paige is kind of seeing Andrea be a Paige to somebody else. I'm like, so is that her boss, Bill, or is it the client? Because like,
it was not clear. Yeah. It's giving, he's, I was like, is he Nigel Barker? Is he Miss J? Is he Mr. J? Like, who is he? Is he Tyra?
Yeah. And like,
see this situation.
What is Paige doing? Is she like, is it a magazine or is she working for like a brand? Like, I'm not, it's, like,
it's unclear. It's
very, she works in fashion. I'm like, yeah, but like for publication, like what is she doing? Right. I don't really quite get it, because, and honestly, it doesn't matter. Cause as a kid, I didn't fucking care. Understand the hierarchy of how organizations work. So I was like, oh yeah. Like, he's like, we need a reshoot. And they're like, but off the budget. And it's like, there's someone who would approve that. I'm like, is that her boss saying that? Because if so, then like, that one would be your concern, lady. If that's supposed to be like the Anna Wintour, if she wants to do a reshoot, they're going to do a reshoot. Vogue has exactly. money. So I'm like, what are we talking about?
Exactly.
who are you? Literally, I don't know who anybody is in this like company. And you have this other like little twink with his fucking hat.
Exactly.
Like, his checkered hat that's like to the side. There's a lot going on.
It's a lot.
Her outfit was cute though. Paige is wearing like black, kind of like belted, like skirt thing on her heels. It's cute.
But yeah, she's giving Lauren Conrad.
I recently watched era. The video when Lauren comes back too. She worked for Elle, right?
Teen Vogue.
Teen Vogue. Of course, how can I forget? Teen Vogue. And it's like after the whole Paris thing. And mm-hmm. the lady's like, so you're the girl who didn't go to Paris. And like, and where's the boyfriend now? And she's like, we broke up.
Mm-hmm. How'd that turn out for you? Listen, the way that these like fashion people were like, yep, well, producers will give you the lines that you want. We will read these people for filth on camera with these fake ass jobs. Because they, can you imagine working in fashion and then having like these fucking actresses come in and like easily get your job that you worked 4+ years for?
Yeah, there's an Emily waiting in the wings, just like shaking. Yeah. Shaking. I've worked for 4 years here and that's the time of my promotion, and like fucking LC is just like, I'm not going to Paris. Like, mm-hmm. what? Yeah. I'd be so good at being like in fashion, not like as like an underling, but I would love to just bitch out some like 20-year-olds. Oh, like just like give me a coffee.
That's my dream.
Give me a chai latte, oat milk, fast, 90 degrees. Anything lower than that, I will throw it in your face. I swear to God. And I'm just like a cunt just for no reason. But like secretly, I'm so nice. I'm just like, I just like to do this. It's like fun.
Yeah.
To
make them. Yeah.
I'm actually like a lovely person, but I'm just mean to these children for no reason.
Exactly. We get a scene at the dot. Spinner is there kind of doing some homework, and Darcy walks over with some peppermint tea, which you know is good for your stomach, which is very sweet. And the two of them kind of have like a bitch sesh about, you know, their woes, but Darcy's like, they're both talking about like, oh my gosh, what's the point of school? We don't even need this stuff. It's so annoying. And Spinner's like, I know, right? And Darcy's like also in a dark space, but Spinner obviously doesn't know why.
Yeah.
But Spinner's like starts to feel nauseous, and she's like, oh, the peppermint tea doesn't help. It's like, bitch, no.
Doesn't. No. I have cancer. Everyone.
And
wake up.
he's like, nothing works. Well, nothing works except for one thing. And she's like, oh my gosh, you mean like marijuana? And surprisingly, she kind of is like, listen, if it works for you, like I endorse medical marijuana use. And I think all of us were shocked that Darcy was not against.
Jesus put it there. For a reason. So she's like, exactly. Oh, I guess God, because Jesus didn't do it, but like God, yeah, right. God put it there for a reason. But also Darcy, I think Darcy has changed significantly, so she's
exactly
probably incredibly jaded about religion anyway at this point. So she's like, sure, smoke your weed.
Exactly.
Like, I don't care.
And she's like, listen, you should go use it if it helps. And so Spinner's like, wait, are you gonna partake? Like, are we about to go smoke together? And she's like, listen, I've changed a lot, but I haven't changed that much. She's like, but I'll go outside and talk with you. And they go outside and chit chat, and Spinner leaves
Honestly,
his phone.
I wish that she had smoked with him. I would love to see a stoner Darcy.
I was hoping that was gonna happen this episode, but it didn't.
Yeah, I thought she was gonna smoke, and she was like, no. She's like, no, girl.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm still Christian. Like,
Spinner ends up leaving his phone on the table, and they end up, spending the rest of the day chatting and kind of just like connecting, vibing, if you will. We get a quick scene at Uni House, and Paige decides to take a personal day. She's cooking breakfast for everyone, and she's like, I'm just not gonna go to work today. She's like, we call in, she just doesn't show up.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'm not, just not going. Like, Paige, no, that's how you do it. You have to tell somebody. She's just like, no, I'm just not gonna. I'm gonna make some eggs.
And she's like, we're all gonna take a break. We all need a break. We're gonna have a fun day off. And they're like, bitch, we got a test. The two of us are still in school and got responsibilities too. She's like, we all need a break. Shut up and eat this bacon.
But also, I love that, like, Marco, and listen, college is important, and you're paying to be there, so I feel like you should do your best. But Marco and Ellie act like they're like doing their PhDs, like they're in grad school. I'm like, you're literally a freshman. Like, you could probably take a day off. Honestly, it was, I to be quite to frank it, obviously people have different experiences. College was so easy for me compared to high school. I'm like, oh, this is so much easier. Why? Well, one, I chose a major, so I'm actually in classes that I want to be in. So that was part of it. But two, it's like, I feel like you had a lot more time to like deal with the material. So I feel like it was easier to just like learn it. I think because my schedule wasn't as packed as it was in college or in high school, it was like I have like seven periods and I have to like go to all these classes. Like, no, I have two classes one day. One day I have one. Since I have one day, it's kind of full. It's three classes. Ooh. And I have a lot of time to like to either study or take my own time. So it's just very funny seeing like Marco and Ellie just be like, we gotta cram. And they're always like drinking coffee and just like, we're just like so sure. I'm like, you're not. They're like the kids I knew when I was in college who were always in the library, but
Oh,
the half the
yeah.
time they were just like on social media. They weren't actually doing anything.
Exactly.
But their whole thing was like, God, we gotta hit the stacks. And I'm like, you're not even doing work. Like, shut up.
Yeah, I.
Shut up.
College was not easy for me. I realize I'm not a good student. I'm not a good student, and but high school was easy enough for me. I knew how to like do the bare minimum to do well in school and like just
Yeah.
like get by and like do well. Like I got good grades and everything. I did well in school, but like I never did more. And so I remember once I went to college and I was like, oh, your parents aren't there like asking if you're doing your homework. Like you don't have to go to class if you don't want to. And like everything's on you. I was like, oh, I'm not gonna like discipline myself. So
But
I,
also,
yeah.
you were a nursing major, weren't you?
Yeah, I had
Or like
really
you're
fucking
so
hard classes.
you had your I was in the humanities. I'm not knocking the humanities, but for most of my courses, it was like read the fucking reading and show up. It's not that diff if you can
Yeah,
read
it was a lot of
and
fucking tests.
comprehend. For me, it was like you read and comprehend, you can write an essay, like you're good. Like you don't have to like really be like, oh, I'm going crazy. And from the looks of it, Marco and Ellie, I don't know what they're studying, but they look, they're always talking about like philosophy or like fucking the history of history. Like, you guys are doing some bullshit liberal arts thing like me. You do not need to be that intense. Eat that bacon and enjoy yourself. Like, it's not that serious.
I realized a little bit too late that I'm not the type of I think at the time I was just like not the kind of I didn't have the discipline or the all the like kind of like skills that I just learned later in life of like time management and like like learning like about like what like avoidance looks like and like all the things that I just realized. I'm like, now I'm like, oh, like right now, like I could probably, I don't really have any desire to go back to school and like be a nurse, but like if I did, I would know how to do that. So, but back then I was like, it'll be fine. I'll just cram for this test. I just had lots of fucking tests and lots of just like stuff to memorize. And then yeah. When I realized, I was like, oh, and then I think at the time I was also working at a hospital. So I was like, I don't care about this anymore. But yeah, but we all need a break, which I was like, oh, I would have been like, oh, I don't have to study. I always, always looking for excuse for someone to like, give me an excuse not to do something. And oh, I was like, yes. Oh, give me that bacon. I'd gladly skip this class. Can we go to the health office so I can get a sick note? So I don't have to use
sprinted into that kitchen with that food. I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm not going to class today.
I would be like, oh, can we make a day out of it so I can use my skip for a different day? Let's go to the health office, get a sick note, possibly 2 days. Let's make a day out of it.
Yeah.
We're back at Degrassi. Spinner and Jimmy are chit-chatting. Spinner is arriving late with a late slip, and Jimmy's like, listen, you missed the chem exam. And Spinner's like, listen, don't worry about it. I used the cancer excuse, and they gave me a free pass, which I'm like, that's how you do it, Spinner. Come on now. But Jimmy realizes that he's also high, and he's like giving full stoner vibes now of like showing up late to class, not really caring as much. And Jimmy's a little bit worried. And Jane shows up and she's mad about Spinner ditching her last night and not returning her calls. They had plans to go to the show and she's pissed. But Spinner's like, listen, I'm sorry, but give me another chance. Let's do something coming up. I want to prove it and make it up to you. She's like, okay. We're at the movies with Paige, Ellie, and Marco. And Paige is giving like, Marco and Ellie are kind of like clocking that she's like about to spiral. Like she's like kind of, she's like, oh, like avoiding calling to work, like not answering her phone. She hasn't called into work to let them know they're not coming in. And they're like, aren't you going to lose your job? And she's like, no. If, you know, like... She's like, not a care in the world.
She's like, I might just like, this is the point where she's like, no, I think it's later. She's like, I might just like, you know, enroll back in classes and like do school again. It's like, Paige, come on. She's like actively just avoiding work in a way that's like, girl, stop.
When I tell you, like, when I learned this about myself, I was like, this is looking in a mirror because this is exactly how I am. I will love if something gets like a little too hard, my first reaction is be like, well, I'll just quit. And I'll like, anytime I have a hard day at work, I'm like, well, I guess I'll just quit and I'll just move back home or like a move to a new country. I'll just figure it out. And I'm like, my hard days at work are like the easiest job I've ever had. And like, it's just like the little bit of thing that's annoying.
But I get that though. I can be avoidant as well. Like, and that's something I've been working on this year about trying to like work on mental health and like trying to listen to myself and understand that when I don't want to do something, is it because I just really don't want to do it? Like, which, in which case I'm like, oh, that's fair. Or am I just like avoiding, like I could do this. I just am avoiding it.
Yeah.
So really listening to myself. Cause I could be very easily get into that mindset of just like, I just like won't. And it's like, you're just anxious and you don't want to do it. And that's why, as opposed to just like, you actively just don't feel like it, which is also fine too.
That realization
Paige
is like
very
growth.
Me. Yeah, it is. It's a big thing. And I'm just like checking in on myself. Like, are you like not going to this mic because you just don't feel like doing comedy right now? Or do you feel bad about yourself? So you're like, I don't want to do it. It's like, you're fine. You should go. So we're working on it. But Paige is like, no, movie starting. Did you hear like what the intro to the movie was?
Mm-mm, no.
It goes, in a world where men are men and women are women, one eunuch will save humanity. I was like, what? Like, what the fuck are they watching? Okay. Where men are men and women are women, one eunuch will save humanity. I was like, that's weird. Also kind of weird to make a eunuch joke, considering we just did a whole episode about like Spinner, like attaching his masculinity to losing like a testicle. And they're like, oh, men were men, women are women. And then there's eunuchs. And it's like, okay, that's weird.
So what century is this?
Right. Like, why is he a eunuch? Like, what's going on there? Like,
very curious.
I'm also pretty sure that eunuch is still like a man, because that person is so like,
right.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, still a dude. Still a dude. So yeah, again, very weird joke to make after a whole thing about like Spinner, and it's like, mm-hmm. eunuch. It's like, okay. Weird.
Very weird. We get to the pool hall. Jane and Spinner are having a little bit of a date night. Jane is chatting about how there's a DJ show coming up, and she's like, oh, I know you like this DJ, whatever his name is. He's going to be here at an upcoming date. We should go. And Spinner is high and in another world and like listening, but obviously not listening and not aware of what she's saying. Jane is getting pissed. She complains about being, Jane is pissed. She's like, you're not even listening to me. You know, why'd you even come out? Spinner's like, listen, I'm being dragged around. You keep on taking me here and there. And I just want to talk. I just want to like chill and talk. She's like, we're trying to talk, but you're not listening. And this is when he admits that the reason he blew her off yesterday was to talk to his ex-girlfriend Darcy all night.
Yeah, like, that was wild.
Spinner,
I'm like, dang, you admitted that. Yeah, but also like, I mean, at the end of the day, these people are not he's not communicating to her what he needs. You're not exactly. really telling. So like, I get where he's coming from, but it's like, you're also not telling Jane that like what you need is just sit and talk. You're just like saying yes to everything she says. So then she thinks that like, okay, that's like what he needs. So. Exactly. But also, I wouldn't throw in her face. Yeah, I had a great conversation harsh. With Darcy. It's just like, shit. Like,
yeah,
Jane isn't bad. She just like is, you know, she's trying her best.
Exactly. but she's pissed and she storms off, rightfully so. We are at Degrassi, and in Miss Kwan's class, Spinner is giving a terrible book report. He's like half-assing it. He didn't even prepare. He's like reading off the back of the book and just completely not giving a fuck. And Miss Kwan's like, are you ever going to take this seriously? Spinner's like, no, I'm going to go. And she's like, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to go get high. Okay, Spinner.
Degrassi is so funny because like, I also love that the writers think that if you smoke weed, you cannot function in society. And I'm like, do you know people like are like smoke weed and like are functioning adults and like go to school and have jobs and like are still productive members of society? They just smoke weed sometimes, or like that's just how they cope. It's just very interesting that you see like if you smoke weed, like you can't do a book report and you're just gonna be like, no one can even talk to you. You're just like, you're just in your own world. I'm like, I don't think that's how it is. Like, I definitely, there's a period in the pandemic, early pandemic. Remember the early panty days?
Yes.
Where I would definitely like hit my weed pen in the morning. Well, no, what did I do? I would get up. I'd have a little, I'd go run in the morning. And I would come home, have a little breakfast. And then I would hit my weed pen and then I would have some coffee and that'd be really productive. I would like go look for jobs. I'd like write. I was like, I was quite productive. Like even though I was unemployed, so I wasn't going to a job, but I found ways to like edit. I would be editing a podcast or I would find ways to make myself useful. So it's like funny, the assumption is like, oh, if you're smoking weed, then like, you're just like sitting on your couch. You're just like that kind of like the, that one PSA where like, the girl's like melted into the couch and it's like, yeah. She doesn't talk anymore. She just lies there. It's like that kind of thing. And I'm like, no, I think that's unrealistic. Also, Spinner maybe just needs a different strain.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little bit too indica heavy for him right now.
Yeah.
Try sativa. Like you might be pretty fine.
Exactly.
Hitting that shit. But yeah. Oh, Degrassi.
But Darcy ends up ditching along with him. She's like, ooh, excuse to
she's nothing... totally like sneaks out of the class. Like he leaves and she like grabs her bag and like sneaks out the back. I'm like, what? Why are so many entrances in this one classroom?
Crazy.
It's unsafe.
We're at the uni house and it's the next day and Paige arrives with some shopping bags and it's clear that she took another personal day. And Marco and Ellie are like, girl. They sit her down, little brief intervention, and they're like, listen, we're going to bring you back to reality. Like, you need to figure it out. And so this is when she's like, oh, you know, like if I lose my job, I'll just go back to school. And they're like, so you can have another panic attack? You hated school.
Now, did she hate school or was it just banting, though? I thought it was just banting.
I think they I don't know. I think it's like one of those things where
they said she hated school, but I thought it was just like banting is a little bit too intense for her, maybe.
I think it is, but I think it was like the way that they're like, oh my gosh, this program is so elite. It's so intense. And it's like, well, that just kind of seems like college. Like, exam time is really fucking stressful. And when all your homework's That's hitting true. At the same time, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it could be any school.
Right.
And she's like, well, it's either going to be, she's like, I just feel like it's going to be too much. Like, I just found out that I have to do this job for 4 years and I fucking hate it. And Marco's like, it's either going to be 4 years of this job or 4 years at school. Which one do you want?
and she's like, true.
Damn. Like this, when you realize that, there's like moments, right, when you're like, I have to work. Like, I have to do it. Like, in order for me to survive, like, I'm going to have to work for the rest of my life. And that's...
Isn't that bullshit?
And I feel
what
like...
What idea was that?
Paige was like... Paige is at the age where you're like, well, I could just like figure something else out that's going to be not like work. I'm waiting around for that thing. It's not going to be work, but I'll just like get paid and like have the best life.
Aren't we all?
And that's why I'm looking for a sugar daddy. I'm not, but like if... If anyone knows any prospects where I don't have to do anything physically,
like, I don't know about that girl. They say you don't have to, but like you're gonna have to at some point. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Those TikTok girls be lying to people. I'm like, hey, I don't have to do anything. I'm like, there's no lies you do.
Yeah, that's what I'm just like. I have two friends here that are in the sugar daddy gang here in China. Mm-hmm. Which if anyone's interested, there's opportunities for black girls here. and for the most part, you don't have to do a lot. China's a very sexually repressed country. So you don't have to do much to kind of get people going. So there are opportunities. It's a public service announcement for anyone curious.
Good to know. Yeah, no, I could never dabble in sex work because I'm lazy. It's not even because
that's
it's,
what I'm like, saying.
It's still fucking work. I think it's so funny when people like talk about sex workers, like, oh, like you just have an OnlyFans, like it's not a real job. I'm like, no, it's work actually. It's actually harder, in my opinion, than like having a 9-to-5 because you have to be like churning out content to like make enough money to survive versus like I just show up and then I get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's very different.
Literally, my friend and I were talking about this the other day. We were like out for drinks and we're like literally having this conversation of like, oh, I'm just so tired. I just want to have money and not do anything. And then we were like, she's like, you should start OnlyFans. And I was like, I can't do an OnlyFans. because I'm too lazy. And she was like, all you have to do is just like take photos of your feet. And I was like, you got to get the lighting right. The amount of competition, the market is saturated. Okay.
Yes.
You gotta be on top of your game. You have to have the best type of content, because you know who also has the OnlyFans. Now, I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on this podcast. Long story short, I was also at drinks with friends, and we found out that Rachel Dolezal has OnlyFans.
I've seen Rachel Dolezal's nudes.
It's shitty.
They're really shitty.
It's so bad. And I'm like,
they're like bad.
Like, you should put some more effort into this.
I'm confident. Like, I don't think I could do better than most OnlyFans girls. I could do better than Rachel Dolezal. I think I could do a better sexy pic.
Yeah.
But also some guys like the kind of like, because it's like the girlfriend experience, right? So they kind of want like a little kind of like grain, because like it looks a little more like authentic. Like, oh, I'm just like snapping a pic for you. So they kind of want that, because it was like, if it's too heavily produced, then it's like clearly like, right, I'm making content.
That's but true.
It's like, oh, it's like, I'm just like, oh, I'm just like in my room, and it's like the lights are not great. Men are stupid.
Yeah, yeah. But like, it's just like one of those things where it's like,
they're easily tricked.
But I'm just like, again, the effort that goes into all of that to like then give the girlfriend effort. Experience. Ugh. I can't.
I have to be like messaging you back, because you want, I want to talk to me. I have to talk to you. I don't want to talk to most people, not talk to you, stranger.
Actually,
and ask you about your fucking day. I don't care.
No. If there is some way for me to set up bots with like ChatGPT.
Oh.
To like.
We're in the money now.
Now that I can get into. Okay. Some AI generated nudes. I'm done.
Yeah, just third party content creation. That'd be sick. Yeah. All to say is that this is a very, we support the girls. Okay. And we respect it, because I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah. Because literally, I was sitting there. Me and my friend were like contemplating, like, okay, like, what could we do this? We're like, let's talk it out. Like, we can do OnlyFans. And both of us literally were like, oh, we can't do it.
We can do it. I have two podcasts. It's almost finding the time to record podcasts just once per week. It's like, that's hard. Versus like, I have to be like uploading content like regularly, and then people like DM you, and like they have specific requests sometimes. So they do kind of a la carte type stuff. So they might ask for, so I have to make you a thing. But no, you know what? I can do OnlyFans if guys get turned on by the idea of just a girl who's kind of mean and doesn't want to do anything for you, then yeah, I could do OnlyFans. But like, you get one nude a year, and then your whole thing is just like the anticipation of getting a nude. Then yeah, I could do it.
But the thing is like, to get to that point, you have to build a rapport. And that takes, there's like groundwork into that.
It's a lot of work.
I mean,
I know a girl who is a comedian and also does OnlyFans, and she incorporates comedy in her OnlyFans content. So it's like funny and also sexy. And I'm like, that's really smart. And like, I respect that, because I certainly would, my first thought would just be like, I don't know, cleavage. I'm not that inventive. I'm just not.
Yeah. And also, like, listen, the free content that already exists, the amount of requests, the request, I don't want to see what the requests are, okay? Because these people are out here searching MILF, stepbrother, incest, teaching next door to threesome with daughter. Like, they got the customized content.
Specific customized content. I'm like,
I don't want to see it.
I just can't do it.
I don't want to interact with these people. That's the thing. That's a job in itself.
Yeah, the interaction.
Having to deal with these fuckers.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do it. Like, I could never do so I watched the airline show, and I'm like, I can never do customer service. And you want me doing OnlyFans? Like, I can't even handle
customer service
Southwest.
Times.
Someone at Thank Southwest you. Just being upset over a ticket. Now I have to deal with someone who like also wants like a specific curated experience. Ugh, no.
Exactly. It's too much.
I can't. I cannot.
We get a clip. Spinner is at the ravine. He just smoked and he's there with Darcy and he's so high. And he and Darcy are talking and Spinner's is about to talk himself into a paranoia spiral.
Oh yeah. Dangerous.
He's realizing, he's like, oh shit, I'm about to fail English for the third time. And I forgot that he was held back and then kicked out of school. Right?
Oh,
he was held back for grades originally, right?
Yeah, he had to repeat. Well, I don't think he was held back for totally. I think he had to repeat Kwan's class.
Right.
So specifically English, he's had to repeat it. Then he got kicked out and now he's doing it again. So that if he then like can't finish this term, he'll be taking English for the fourth time. But he'll be like redoing school for like the second, third time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd be panicking too. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
What have I done?
Yeah. And Darcy's like, listen, we're all in a rut that we can't get out of. And Spinner's like, no. Like, I'm freaking out and I'm fucking up my life and I need to go fix it.
This scene was hard to watch because like Darcy's clearly projecting a lot of like, she's like,
yes,
everything's useless, nothing matters. But like Spinner doesn't know that Darcy is dealing with a rape. So he's kind of like, for you, like he's just like, like fuck you, like actually, like not genuinely, but like Darcy is clearly in like a really dark place and she's like, yeah, none of this matters anyway. He's like, no, speak for yourself. Like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Like, oh no. Yeah. Someone stay with Darcy. Is she okay? Because she's like really talking in a way that's very dark and scary. And he's just like, huh. He's like, I gotta survive this shit. I don't know what the fuck you're going through, bitch. Like he like leaves, but then like falls over his bikes and she's like, oh,
yeah,
I thought I was a mess. And I'm like, I don't know. I think you're both, I would compare too much.
Misery loves company.
Yeah.
But they're also both in misery for obvious reasons. They're feeling their things because of the stuff they're going through.
Right.
We get our last scene with Andrea and Paige. Paige returns to work. She has an apology soy latte that she did right because the replacement for her is really fucking up and Andrea's really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But Paige gets her job back, which I'm like, props to Paige. She's like, listen, I know Andrea. She's going to flounder without me and she's going to welcome me back with opening arms.
I wish that she had like told us this and like actually, if anything, it kind of, it kind of makes her personal day like not really matter because like, oh, like I had a job and I knew my job would still be here. Like I'm fine. And like she was right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And Paige is like, so Andrea kind of like alludes to this, like, we really, you know, I really need you. Like, don't do this again. And it turns out that Paige's suggestion for changing the photos into black and white and fixing the overall vibe of the photo shoot worked well, and they end up using her suggestion, and Paige is like, oh, I clocked that. And Andrea's like, don't get too cocky. it worked this time. Last scene is at Degrassi. Spinner and Miss Age are walking out of the school and she's like, listen, you know, Spinner, I'll help you out, but you have to promise that you're only going to be taking your meds this time and, you know, staying on top of things. And he's like, oh yeah, I promise. And I'm like, you should still be smoking weed on the side.
Right. I'm like, yeah. I think he's going to be taking a break from school or at least like
doing work at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is great. But also like you should smoke. Like because we didn't mention this, but it's also established that like they did have medication for him for like the nausea. It didn't work. Because he took it. He's like, I slept for like ever. I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So like if anything, you know, obviously they fell for the whole like stoner trope of like, oh, I can't do anything. But yeah. A lot more functional than just being asleep for hours. Exactly. So I'm like, I don't know. I think he needs to find a better strain, just keep doing this weed. Cause I think it seems to work. But of course, you know, Degrassi has to give us a to say no moment of like, I know you have cancer and everything spin, but promise me you won't smoke weed anymore. Okay. Just exactly. Like let the chemo kick your ass. That's fine. Just keep doing that. Like okay. chemo has to be better than getting stoned out of your mind, right? It's like, no, actually the opposite.
But that's definitely what they're insinuating.
That is what they're insinuating.
Yeah. Spinner sees Jane and he apologizes to her and is like, hey, you know, like maybe we can talk and hang out, you know, when you come to drop off my homework at home. Because he's planning on staying at home for chemo. And she's like kind of resistant, but they end up making up and Spinner apologizes for what he did. She also apologizes for not listening to his request and like realizing that he needs to take a break and like needs rest. And he admits, he's like, listen, I also realized something else. I realized that I really like you. And they kiss. And it's a very, like, this episode, again, I kind of mentioned earlier, like, these episodes are giving, like, it's, like, we're entering out of, like, the kind of, like, borderline cringy, very, like, Degrassi, like, because Degrassi was, like, a teen show, but it wasn't, like, the other teen shows, like, One Tree Hill. It wasn't, like, the OC. It was very separate and kind of, like, PG. And I feel like Degrassi is entering into their, like, true teen drama era.
Oh, yeah.
And I love it.
And the romances are a little more exciting.
Yes.
To watch than, like, yes. Than I think that they have been in the past, where she's a little, like, eye-rolly. It's like, oh, this is, like, kind of cute. I do like Jane and Spinner together.
Yeah.
A cute, like, kind of yeah. Old couple. Her weird little hair clips, little hair jewels.
Yeah, she's like, I got these at Spencer's.
Yeah. Oh, you know she did. She did. Aw. Those crazy kids. That was a good episode, except for the weird, it like, was. Just say no stuff. It still was great, though. I enjoy Spinner episodes these days. Yes. Lauren, if you had to pick a song that goes with this episode, what would you pick?
So I picked a song, but I realized I think we already added it. It's the Paper Planes by MIA.
Oh my God. I chose that too.
Did we already add that? Let's see.
I don't think we have. I think we've talked about it, but I don't think we've had it on.
Let's see. Oh no. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. My mistake. It is currently on the podcast. So did we both choose MIA Paper Planes?
Yeah.
Look
I love when that happens.
Yes. I mean, it's so fitting. It's very of the time as well. Mm-hmm.
I used to love that song.
I mean, we all thought we were just like the coolest. We're like, oh, I know what this song is about.
Yeah. I also loved, I think that song was my intro into The Clash because it samples Straight to Hell. I think I learned that, like, I looked it up and I was like, what's The Clash? And I started listening to The Clash and I was like, oh my God, The Clash is fucking great. So like, yeah, thanks to MIA, I learned who The Clash is and I love that band a lot. Awesome. Great song choices. I love when we sync up like two girls in their periods.
Yes.
Next week, we'll be back for episodes 11 and 12, Owner of a Lonely Heart and Live to Tell. In Owner of a Lonely Heart, Marco is low on cash, and after meeting a friend who takes an interest in him, he considers doing something he never thought he would ever do. Manny grows closer to Jay and concocts a sham engagement on the spot to keep her meddling parents at bay. And in Live to Tell, unable to cope with her rape, Darcy descends down a self-destructive path of lies, promiscuity, and disturbing behavior that could cost her everything about which she cares. Meanwhile, Jimmy is tired of relying on Ashley for everything, and with his friend Trina to help him spread his wings, Jimmy is left with a tough decision to make.
Wait, is he still with Ashley?
I guess so. I assume they broke up. I guess they didn't break up, actually. I would have dumped her ass after that shit. Listen. Like, oh, we're through.
Like, that's shocking.
Yeah, I definitely thought that they were donezo, but nope.
Weird. Okay.
He still attached his horse to that wagon. I wouldn't.
Nope.
Absolutely not. Oh, wow. Good stuff. I'm looking forward to getting back into Darcy and Darcy's storyline. I'm happy to see that.
Me too.
Also excited to see a Marco storyline as well. We've done Marco with like the Dylan stuff. I want to see, what is Marco up to? What is he going to do that he never thought he would do?
Exactly. Exciting stuff. Me either. Be a surprise.
I don't remember. It'll be a surprise for both of us. Oh my God. I love doing this podcast. We are so happy you are listening, that you're enjoying yourselves. Be sure to hit us up on EWS Pod on Instagram or email us. We love to hear your feedback. But thank you so much for listening. And as always, we will catch you later, Brimheads.
Bye, Brimheads.